Welcome to Step Into Magic, your weekly online radio show on how to develop your psychic ability, deepen your spirituality, and find your own true purpose, with acclaimed medical intuitive, Josephine Lang. This broadcast is a part of the Wisdom and Intuition Network at worldclasswind.com. This is Anthony Taylor, your host, and on behalf of Josephine, I'll be taking your calls and questions. This week's topic is Restoring the Balance of Health, How to Catch Yourself When You've Fallen. During tonight's show, Josephine will be sharing some of her knowledge regarding health and healing. Because of the laws in America at present, it's important that we let you know that the content of this discussion is presented for educational purposes only and is not intended to diagnose or prescribe for any health condition, nor is it intended to mitigate, treat, prevent, or cure such conditions. The information we will be sharing tonight is not meant to replace a direct relationship with a doctor or qualified healthcare professional, nor is the information given as medical advice, but is rather a sharing of knowledge based on experience and research. You are encouraged to make your own health decisions using your own judgment and research in partnership with a qualified healthcare professional. Right, now I've got that out of the way. For anyone new to our show, Josephine has been a clairvoyant healer for more than 25 years. During that time, she's helped thousands of people from around the world to heal from hard-to-diagnose and chronic health issues. She's also been a teacher and spiritual mentor for hundreds of people who treasure her insights, courage, and love.
Thank you so much, Tony, and hello, everyone. It's so nice to be with you tonight. We've had listeners from around the world this past month, and I'm so grateful to all of you who are tuning in. And I'd just like to mention these countries because it's so wonderful to know who might be joining us tonight. We've had listeners in Russia, Italy, Portugal, Spain, Romania, Greece, Canada, Australia, Germany, Belgium, France, Israel, Singapore, Vietnam, Thailand, Mexico, Uruguay, Brazil, Colombia, El Salvador, all across the United States, Norway, New Zealand, Kosovo, Rwanda, South Africa, and actually many other countries. Isn't that wonderful? We're all in such good company around the world, and it's really great. We're expanding our human consciousness together and learning how to love and care for each other and for ourselves. It's really a wonderful thing to do. This week we're going to be discussing our health and why things go wrong and how we can help to get them right again. It's our body's nature to heal, and given half a chance, it will. We'll be covering how to maintain the healthy pH in our bodies and why we have mucoidal plaque in the colon, the importance of laughter and bliss and meditation and deep inner reflection. And we'll be exploring a variety of alternative ways that people have used to successfully regain the balance of health. So the preeminent natural healer, Dr. Richard Schultz, said, and Tony, maybe you can show this slide for us.
Certainly.
He said, tomorrow is what you believe and do today. And this is so important because our beliefs and feelings really do create profound changes in our lives. Our present moment awareness changes our brain, and this results in changing our actions and our bodies. But before I go into the topic of reclaiming our health naturally, I always like to begin our show with our spiritual agreement. And this was a gift to me from my friend and mentor, Jana Massey. And it goes like this. And please join me in this agreement if you will. Together, we acknowledge that everything that we think and that we say and that we do at this time will be of the highest good. And together we ask for truth, the understanding of that truth, and the wisdom to use it in our lives. Do you all agree?
I do.
Thank you very much, Tony, and thank you, everyone. Me too. It's a really good thing. So as I was, you know, going through a big healing crisis some 20 or 30 years ago, I had a number of really profound injuries, and I started working with a really wonderful chiropractor, Dr. Otto, and this was right at the time that my psychic ability was starting to awaken. And I really learned so much from him, just being around him and working with him as a psychic assistant. I learned about reflexology and meridians and referred pain, pain that can happen in a place that's a little bit distant from where the problem lies. Sometimes we can have referred pain from another organ, like maybe the thymus gland will be acting up and our foot hurts. And we think, well, why is my foot hurting? It takes us back to the thymus gland. I also learned about the pH of the body, the acid-alkaline imbalance, and the importance of that, and about homeopathy. And, you know, we're really not given an owner-operator manual for the body when we're born. And without one, we can lose the balance of health. But there are some really nice tips and helpers out there. One of them that I'd like to mention is a wonderful book called Healthy Healing by Linda Rector Page. She's a naturopathic doctor. And this book, I think she's had 13 or more editions, and it's got the first 100 pages or so are all just about general health and well-being. And then the rest of the book is everything from A to Z, Alzheimer's to warts, what you can do, what the common symptoms are, what the common causes are, and then different approaches that you can take, be it vitamin or herb or supplement therapy or body work that you can do, like the reflexology or the meridians, or diet and lifestyle changes that you can make. It's just a beautiful way for anybody to get started in learning about natural health and healing or resources like that. And there's a number of them, but I really like that one, Healthy Healing by Linda Rector Page. It's available in most healthy food stores across the United States, I would imagine, or at least can be ordered in. But we can, you know, sometimes lose the balance of health. Things can happen to us, like we can get too many late nights, lack of sleep. That's a huge one. Lack of sleep is big in our well-being. Or overindulgence in alcohol or bad fats like hydrogenated oils. You know, some of those cake frostings that are just like they won't even rinse off the plate with hot water. I really worry about those. If it doesn't melt at body temperature, you know, that's kind of a big concern. Or a tendency to eat too much white flour or white sugar, those are just completely empty calories. They're devoid of any nutrition, and we're running on an empty fuel when we eat those kinds of foods. And yet, so often, that's what we want to reach for on the standard American diet. You know, they call it, the acronym is SAD, SAD, standard American diet. And so we tend to reach for, what you know, crackers and cheese or something, or a cookie or something like that. That's not going to feed our bodies. And then another way that we can become ill and lose the balance of health is through breathing molds or toxic chemicals and other environmental pollutants. Also, drugs and other chemical substances taken into the body, these can really take their toll. Another one that is very common, which is almost like the sacred cow here in America, is coffee, caffeine, too much caffeine, or black tea or green tea, even though green tea does have healing benefits. When we have too much caffeine coming into our bodies, we can really exhaust our adrenal glands. And anything that goes off in the hormonal system, any one of those glands goes off, it throws the rest of the hormonal system off, the endocrine system. So being really careful about not getting too many excesses can really be a good thing. And also, too, the thing with coffee is it's surprising how many people that'll call and say, gee, I just can't sleep. Oh, it's terrible. Well, how much coffee do you drink? Oh, 8 cups a day. You know, sometimes these things that can be so obvious, we don't realize it. You know, but there's a classic formula for lack of good sleep is, you know, 4 or 5 or more cups of coffee or black tea or iced tea or any other source of caffeine, or maybe a couple of cookies and some chocolate during the day, and running stress all day long, thinking that you need that to keep yourself going, and then, you know, trying to expect to sleep well at night. That's just not going to happen. So we do, you know, sometimes we have these things that we get ourselves involved in that make us ill and make us not feel well. And we do need to let them go in order to help ourselves get well. When we surrender ourselves to change, which is really what it's like, we have to let that little rebel inside calm down and surrender ourselves to change, we make new choices that can then soon become our trusted patterns, our new patterns. And why do we need to surrender to change? Because our organs of elimination can get overburdened. So our liver cleans our blood, and if our blood is dirty from taking in environmental toxins or cigarette smoke or anything else, then our liver, which cleans the blood, gets clogged with toxins. The same will hold true for the kidneys. That's another blood cleanser, blood cleaning organ. And then the colon as an avenue for removal of old dead blood cells and metabolic waste products from cellular metabolism. We just need to be aware of this, and we need to clean these organs from time to time, just like we would change the oil in our car. And we need especially to do this when we find ourselves feeling ill, to give ourselves a chance to be able to clean our bodies and to restore the health. So I myself personally really like to use very strong and potent detoxification routines. If I'm going to get in there and clean my body, I want to do it thoroughly. And there are lots of detoxification programs on the market, and many of them are pretty weak and often ineffectual. There's one that I'm really not particularly fond of, which is like lemon juice with maple syrup, and that's about all you eat all day long. And you're not feeding yourself very good quality food. You're not getting the nutrition. Yes, the lemon is going to be cleaning. We can clean our walls with lemon juice. And I certainly use citrus in cleaning my internal organs. Orange juice and olive oil and garlic, those kinds of things, can really help us to clean our internal organs. But we want to be sure that we're getting the nourishment at the same time so that we're not just emptying ourselves out and not feeding ourselves what we need to go ahead and allow ourselves to get well. So I really recommend all of Dr. Richard Schultz's programs. He is a real intense natural healer. He really gets in there and does the trick. And he has these five-day detoxes, so 5 days for the liver, 5 days for the kidney, 5 days for the colon. And you can do them, you know, once a season. Frank and I do his cleanses several times a year. In fact, we're doing his 30-day detox right now. It's January. That's the time we like to do it. So we start off with a week of colon cleansing, a little 5 days, take a break on the weekends because that's a little more social time, then go in Monday through Friday with the kidney cleanse or the liver cleanse, either one, then a break on the weekends, and then the other one, the kidney or the liver, and then another, finish it up with colon cleansing. Because as we clean those big organs of elimination, the kidneys and the liver, they tend to dump their toxins into the colon, and we want to get those toxins. Not only do we want to have a clean colon to be able to handle the toxins at the start, but we also want to clean that colon again at the end so that we can really get that the whole system eliminated of all of those poisons. And it can feel a little rough, you know, as we get in there and start letting go of these poisons from the body, these toxins. But this is so minor. I mean, a bellyache and a rough day, maybe a headache or something, when compared to surgeries and some of these other options that we have, those are very extreme. The body doesn't usually care for that kind of a really invasive situation. So, and the nice thing about these detoxes is there are really no damaging side effects, and the more frequently you do it, the less junk there is moving out, and so it becomes easier and easier to do. So I find that people, when they first do them, it's a little rough and rocky, but as you continue to do them every year or every season, going through another one, it's not so hard, unless you've, you know, been overindulging in a lot of junk foods, as we call them. So Dr. Schultz has written a really wonderful short book called There Are No Incurable Diseases. And this is a 30-day intensive cleansing and detoxification program. And this book is very inexpensive. It's under $15. And you can read it for free on his website. And, Tony, maybe you can show that slide. I made a slide of the title of this book because it's really a lifesaver. And I myself have done it just for fun, his Incurables program. The book just describes the Incurables program, and then you can go ahead and buy the herbs from him. He has the American Botanical Garden, American Botanical Pharmacy. And his website is, as you can see on the slide there, www.herbdoc.com or 1-800-HERB-DOC. And like I said, you can read the book for free on his website. If you just go to his website, top menu books, scroll down, you'll see There Are No Incurable Diseases. It's a wonderful book. And like I said, I've seen real healing miracles with this book. It's really quite something. And when I did it, I felt absolutely wonderful afterwards. I mean, his programs are fabulous. They really do deep, deep work. But the main thing is that we need to listen within. You know, often we do know. A lot of times when I'm doing my readings as a medical intuitive for people, I'll receive some information on their behalf, and I'll share it with them, and then they'll say, you know, gosh, I've been having a sneaking suspicion that that was happening. Or we often do know what's going on. We might really pick up on something that might be harming us. Or it can be something really basic, like, you know, we're thirsty and we just need, or we need more sleep. We just need to drink some water and get some more sleep. Or exercise, you know, that phrase, use it or lose it. You know, that's a really important one when it comes to exercise. We need to keep our strength built up well into older age. That's what keeps us healthy. That's what makes us stay young longer, as opposed to the sedentary lifestyle, which sadly I've been having more of in my life. But I do try to get out and get hot and pink and sweaty at least 3 or 4 times a week and get some exercise every day. But, you know, especially if we're spending a lot of time working at the computer, that sort of thing, we do need to get out and move. So another thing that's really important is to watch, and this is probably one of the most important, is our negative thought patterns. We really need to realize that, you know, our thoughts are so powerful, and they can really impair our immunity or they can really build it. Perhaps some of you remember that really wonderful DVD, What the Bleep Do We Know? It's become quite popular, and there's a really good reason for it, because it really shows how our thoughts affect our lives. And there's a wonderful book by Dr. Joe Dispenza. I'm sure that many of you have heard of it. It's called The Placebo Effect. And in it, he explains that we think something like 70,000 thoughts a day, which is quite a lot. And just about 90% of them are the same thoughts that we had yesterday. And when we have those thoughts, they are creating the same feelings and the same results that we had yesterday. And then when we get on a placebo drug, somebody tells us, oh, here, take this. It will make you feel better. Then every day as we take that drug, we have a new thought. This is going to make a difference. And we don't know it's a placebo. That's the benefit of a placebo. We don't know, but we have that belief. My doctor told me it's going to make a difference. And then we just give ourselves over to that new idea. And new neurological patterns are formed. And because of that, we create a new future, and that's the mechanism behind the placebo. So this is why so many people who have come up with new ways of being have been through some kind of major trauma. Like myself, I had these 3 major injuries over the course of 10 years. And because of the trauma, it stops us from having our habitual thought patterns, and it presents us with a choice. And this is where this is really the key, you know, about, are we going to go into positive thinking or negative thinking? How do we want to think? We want to leave the familiar behind and come to that present moment, which is the moment of power, decision, and direction. We want to drop our old identity and open up to a new tomorrow. And this happens not through our analytical mind. It's not like we can think our way through this. It's more of a subconscious. It's more of coming out of our feeling self or our beliefs and our feelings. Another example of how a shift of identity can really create a different physical reality is in that multiple personality syndrome, where an individual in one aspect of their awareness or their identity may have an illness like diabetes or something, but a second or two later when they shift identity into another aspect of their awareness, their disease is gone. So this slide with this quote really holds a lot of power for our transformation. We need to believe in ourselves and form new patterns that from those positive thoughts. It's really an important aspect of this. And what are some of the steps that we can take when we're opening to the new and to change? Well, of course, those things we all know. You know, I was speaking to my brother not too long ago, and he said, do you mean to tell me that all the things that are good to me or good for me are good for me, and all the things that are supposed to be bad for me are bad for me? It's like, well, yes, that's the truth. You know, we need to have healthy foods, and we need to nourish our bodies, and, you know, realize that vitamins are killed with heat, so not so much cooked food. Going for those nice raw salads and pieces of, you know, celery stalks and cucumber and, you know, just eating fresh raw tomatoes. And I like to recommend 12 different vegetables a day. You know, it only has to be a stalk or two of each. It doesn't have to be a lot, preferably raw. And then there, I can't sing the praises enough of homemade vegetable juices and also smoothies and superfoods with green powders. You know, another thing we can do is to start our meals with a blessing. We just need to keep these things in mind.
Josephine, thank you so much for that. We've had a few messages in.
Good.
And we had a couple of lovely messages of support from Anna in the Bay Area and Simont in Oakland. But we actually had a question from Janet from Indiana who said, would you please say the name of the book and author? Was it Healthy Feelings?
Oh, yes. It's thank you, Janet, for asking. It's Healthy Healing. So HealthyHealing. And that's Linda Rector Page. Fabulous book. I'd like to see a copy of that book in every household across the nation and really across the world. It would be really wonderful. Thanks for asking.
Oh, one thing I would like to share, Josephine, is that, you know, with spending so much time with you over the past couple of years, my diet has changed quite a bit, I must say, and it's considerably more healthy now than it used to be. And one of the things that I've noticed is that you really do grow to like good food and you stop craving bad things. And now I can actually crave things that are really good for me if I'm feeling, you know, a little run down, a little low, rather than wanting something really sugary.
Yeah.
I'm inclined to think, you know, some fresh vegetables or something like that might actually make me feel a lot better.
Yeah, a little corn and beans.
Yeah, like I had this evening, yeah.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
It really is. It's amazing how that change will happen.
Yeah, and, you know, we grow entirely new taste buds every 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
That means that in 2 weeks' time, those old taste buds that were craving those junky things are gone, and you don't even have a taste for them anymore. It's just that old habit. So if we can move beyond that habit, we're home free. Isn't that great?
Mm-hmm.
And thanks, you guys, for sending in your messages. I really appreciate it, you gals. I know it well. I want to say thanks, you Gaias, the wonderful image of the Earth Mother. So thank you. So our colon. Time to get into a little bit about the colon. So unfortunately, colon cancer is huge in the United States, largely because of our standard American diet. But it's not just about colon cancer. It's also about the progressive effect of bad food and poor nutrition that really leaves us feeling only half alive. Something like 50% of all Americans have diverticulitis and diverticulosis. And many of us develop polyps and muscle spasms and other problems in our colon. And our colons, they are, you know, right next door to all of our reproductive organs. And that can throw our hormonal systems off to have all of that sludge right there, right next to, you know, our uteruses and genitals. So that's pretty serious business. And when it comes to something like diverticulosis, which is like a hernia in the colon, that's a little out pocket that collects old stagnant material, that material in there becomes progressively more and more toxic as it putrefies and ferments. And this can cause infections, and that can be a real burden on the immune system. So having that kind of a situation right next to our wonderful genitalia, that's really not so very good. And, you know, it's important to remember that all of our membranes inside of our bodies that surround our internal organs, these are not like plastic. They are, you know, somewhat slightly semi-permeable. So, you know, if we don't want toxins leaking to our other organs and burdening our lymph systems and dirtying up our blood, then we want to, you know, live our lives and bring forth, you know, live our lives in a good way so that we can really bring forth our unique gifts to humanity and to the world. So we want to be sure that we're eating foods that really nourish us. And maybe you can show that next slide then, Tony, if you don't mind.
Certainly.
This one says, good health starts in the colon. And, of course, constipation is huge with our standard American diet, and so are sluggish bowels. And when we are having constipation and a sluggish bowel, those are the times when we are really reabsorbing toxins, not only from things like diverticuli, but also just from that slow bowel. And what that is always caused by is not enough fresh vegetables. Roughage really sweeps the colon clean. We want to be thinking vegetables for breakfast, vegetables for lunch, and vegetables for dinner. And, you know, if we have a few other foods in there, that's great. But, you know, when we're eating a lot of junk, like a lot of crackers and cheese, or lots of heavy on the meats in the diet, or just foods that we call foods that really aren't foods, like so many of the processed foods that have got, you know, a list of chemicals that are 30 or 40 ingredients long, that's not the kind of thing we want to eat. I like to keep it to a maximum, if I'm going to buy a processed food, of 5 ingredients. And even then, I'm really careful. I look more at the ingredients than I do at the price on foods, because it's my insurance policy is really checking to make sure that my foods are foods. Basically, you want to fill up your cart in the produce section. You don't really want to be shopping too much else in the store, very little. And what happens when we eat a lot of junk foods and we have a lot of poisons moving through our colon, then our mucoidal plaque, that mucus lining on the inside of the colon, clear mucus, will thicken to protect us. And that is great because it protects us, but it also slows the absorption of toxins, which is why it's so protective. And when we clean up the diet, then we get a thinner mucus barrier. It is not so much needed. So good health starts in the colon.
Well, thank you so much for that. Well, here's a question I just have to ask, Josephine. So what should your poop look like if your colon is healthy?
Great question. So some say that a normal poop is well-formed and brown in color. Others swear by golden floaters. Some say that we should poop once a day. And others say that having a bowel movement several times a week is fine. But the folks who have really studied poop around the world, focusing on, you know, native people in village populations eating their natural diets, find that what is normal, and it makes perfect sense if you think about it, is this. You eat a meal, and then 20 to 40 minutes later, you take a dump. So food in and then food out, with a total transit time of about 12 hours. And this is what's held true for most of the village cultures around the world with the people who are eating their traditional diets. And the consistency of their stools tends to be more like soft serve ice cream or pudding rather than being really well formed. And it slides right out, too, with very little need for paper to clean it up with. It's just, you know, in and out, and it happens very quickly. And that beautiful little nerve at the far end of our digestive tracts says, you know, it's time. And then we go and relieve ourselves, and the whole affair is over and done within less than a minute. So with a healthy, fully functioning colon, there's not even enough time to pick up a magazine. And the scent, as was once colorfully referred to by Dr. Kellogg, and I love this, he said it should have no more smell than a fresh-baked muffin.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Isn't that great?
That is amazing.
I love it. And because things don't really have time in there with that quicker transit time to get really rank with all that warm, moist heat, because you know what warm, moist heat does, grows molds and funguses and all kinds of stuff. So it's just like in it goes and out it comes. But no one ever tells us this. We're so misinformed in our diet style in the West, especially here, that we don't know what we've been missing. And according to some folks who really take the time to calculate this, like myself, it's it's somewhere around 3 poops a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. And that's over 1,000 poops a year. And that's so much better than 356 poops, or even as few as 52, like some folks do.
Well, that reminds me of a little joke I heard. Did you hear about the constipated mathematician who worked it out with pencil and paper?
Oh, no.
Sorry about that.
I didn't, but I have heard that diarrhea is not hereditary, even if it runs in your genes. Bad jokes. Got to tell them once in a while, especially when you're talking about poop. It's such a funny topic. So, you know, we've got to ask what creates all these free and easy bowel movements for these various cultures across the world. Well, it's a diet that's really rich in fruits and vegetables, of course. And plenty of fresh, pure water. So bananas, peaches, nectarines, plums, persimmons, watermelon, all these can loosen up even the most resistant bowel and act like scrub brushes of fiber, and also they bulk up the stool. Whereas cheeses, meats, and processed carbs, remember old-fashioned cheap wallpaper paste? My mom used to make that from flour and water.
Yeah,
oh, that slows the whole system down. It's like glue, you know, and it's so that's what we're eating when we're eating flour and water. It's more like glue. It slows the system down, and it sometimes gunks it up to a near standstill. So this slow material, which is called chyme, C-H-Y-M, I believe, can get so stagnant that our colon wall muscles need some reminding of how to contract because there's just no bulk in there to get them moving. And that's where the herbs come in, some of which we mentioned earlier this month, and they can give that colon a little wake-up call and boot all that old stuff out of there. And that list of my top favorite 52 medicinal herbs from the garden is still free and available. If you'd like to have it, just visit the website, stepintomagic.com, and I'll be sure to send you one.
Josephine, after Chloe and I had been, you know, cleaning our colons, you know, with the trying to have the raw food and, you know, some of Dr. Schultz's herbs, we did that for a few weeks. And then we went to a Mexican restaurant. And immediately afterwards, I got constipated and felt unwell. And Chloe even got ill to the point of vomiting. And I'm quite convinced that I could have gone in there before that and the food wouldn't have had any effect. So can you explain why something like that happened?
Well, yes. So most likely it sounds to me like in that situation you probably had a little bacterial food poisoning, a little dose of food poisoning.
Right.
And so I always keep charcoal and apple pectin on hand because those are really great at mitigating. You know how we have charcoal in our water filters and things? That can help to pull bad bacteria and things out of the colon.
Right.
And then I also keep Dr. Schultz's digestive tonic or his bowel shot on hand so that I can, you know, in cases like that, I'll just get it out of there as soon as possible. Now, if it hasn't been too long and I can tell right away that I'm starting to feel bad, then I will induce vomiting because it's really better out than in. Because when it's in for a long transit time and you're absorbing a lot of the poisons into the body. And then, of course, you might want to follow up with an experience like that, no matter how you've addressed it, with garlic, because garlic is known to help. It's both antibacterial and antiviral, and that's what I do, is I'll follow a situation like that with some garlic. And garlic is also known for stopping tumor growth, and it helps with the immune system, which fights off infection, and thus that would help with diverticulosis. But when we clean up the diet, as you did with your cleanse, we really reduce the mucoidal plaque, which is that buildup of mucus, that mucus barrier that helps protect us from poisons in the diet. And when we get that nice and thin, because we don't have as much mucus needed, then we are more sensitive to toxins. So the best analogy that I can say for this is it's sort of like the former alcoholic who, you know, used to have a really high level of consumption of alcohol, and then they get on the wagon and they stop drinking, and then something happens and they slip off and they go right back to that previous level of consumption, which they used to be able to easily handle, but that's how we wind up with alcohol poisoning and sadly too many deaths. So it's like that, and as you were eating vegan with lots of fresh and especially raw vegetables, which really helped to move the colon, then you got that mucoidal plaque really thin, and then you were perhaps especially susceptible to that bacteria that you probably got exposed to.
I see. So in some ways, then, it can be good to have a thick mucoidal barrier because it will protect you.
Well, it is protecting you from toxins, which are commonly found, you know, in our standard American diet foods, but it's also slowing or blocking the absorption of all of your good, healthy nutrients.
Right, right.
But maybe it's time for us to get off the pot and move on here. Or we're going to be all pooped out before we get to the end of this show.
Okay, that's enough.
And there's a few other toxins that I'd like to kind of address that can cause us to lose the balance of health. Like, for instance, we all know about cigarette smoking and the difficulties that that can cause with lung cancer and so many problems in our lives and for the health and well-being of our family members as well. But not too many people know that the tobacco plant itself has a unique quality in that the roots of the tobacco plant can find and pull up out of the soil radioactive isotopes, which are, you know, sometimes common in the soil, but the tobacco plants particularly seek those out and pull them up into the roots and then bring them on up to the leaves where they deposit those radioactive isotopes in the leaves of the plant. And then when we smoke that plant, the smoke, it carries the radioactive isotopes into our lungs where they are deposited into the lungs. And just like X radiation and other radioactivity, whenever it gets lodged in the body, it can be another source of constant irritation, just like how slow colons can be a source of constant irritation. And maybe you can show that next slide then.
service.
This is a quote from my mom, Rachel Lang. No longer with us, but what a dear and really a great natural healer in her own right. And she said that cancer is caused by any constant irritation. So like I said, a colon moving too slowly with constipation, reabsorbing toxins, or X radiation lodged in the body from any number of sources, or environmental pollutants or toxins from drugs that get trapped in the liver or in other tissues, these can all be troublemakers. So we need to clean these organs of elimination really regularly, just like you would change the oil in your car. And, of course, part of the way that we do that cleaning is with fresh, raw, organic vegetable juices. They can really help. And we want to do organic because we don't want to be putting poisons into our body while we're busy trying to pull them out. So another one that is one of my favorite garden herbs is cilantro, which is known for pulling heavy metals out of the body. It's just a great little herb. So that's that.
Fantastic. On the subject of, organ health, well, this partly comes from my teaching Alexander technique. Isn't it true that organs will actually clean themselves if you give them a chance? Like the body is trying to find the best possible conditions for itself. So, if you get the right diet, you breathe fresh air, you drink, clean, pure water, you take exercise, etc. That's been my experience anyway. When I do this, even if there's initial difficulty, like say if you decide I'm not going to drink coffee anymore, then you may well get headaches and that on the first day, or anything that you give up, like you give up sugar, then for a while you start feeling like, oh, I haven't got any energy or whatever. But my experience has always been that before long you start to feel so much better that you're really glad you made the change.
No, absolutely. I 100% agree. And our organs do clean themselves. Given half a chance, the body always heals, which is one of the wonderful things. So now we have another beautiful slide that Frank made up. Thank you so much, Frank, for these lovely slides for all of us tonight. And this one is the biomarkers of biological aging. And so experts on aging feel that all of these biomarkers can be reversed, whether you start in middle age or as an elder with that plant-based or plant-strong diet and regular exercise. And you can regain muscular strength and aerobic endurance and vigor and vitality. And so I'll just read this slide out now. So these are the biomarkers of biological aging. Loss of muscle mass, the metabolic rate slows down, loss of aerobic capacity, blood pressure rises, loss of blood sugar tolerance, bad cholesterol levels rise, bone density decreases, and internal body temperature stabilization ability is impaired. And these could also be looked upon as the biomarkers of disease conditions developing in the body. And they're all so easily reversible. So the loss of aerobic capacity and the metabolic rate and muscle mass is reversed through regular exercise. So important. And like I was saying the other day, I have a dear friend who has a gym in her own house that she just sort of goes to. And we went and visited our cousins in Chicago over the Christmas time. And they have gyms down in their basements, and they do their workouts. And interval training is something that my one friend locally has been saying she's really, really been benefiting from and loving. And there was a study that we mentioned last week at Tufts University for chronically ill patients in nursing homes, the residents in nursing homes, and they had them lift weights for 3 times a week for 2 months, which is not very much, just 3 times a week for 2 months. And their balance and coordination improved, their walking speed tripled. It's just really quite amazing. And another thing is that blood pressure is normalized through healthy exercise and diet programs. We all know this about our blood pressure. If we clean up our diets, it gets better. And then blood sugar problems, even diabetes, both type 1 and type 2 can be reversed in just 21 days with a raw food plant-based diet with a very low glycemic program like what Gabriel Cousins, MD, does at his Tree of Life facility in Patagonia, Arizona, which is such an astounding thing. 21 days, type 1 diabetes, reversed. It's amazing. Type 2 diabetes, same thing. And his DVD, Simply Raw, is a wonderful documentary on reversing diabetes through diet and exercise alone. And this kind of diet is also great for reducing cholesterol levels and for balancing blood pressure levels as well. And he also has an exercise program with his diet style.
Josephine, you talked about low glycemic, and I'm hearing that a lot lately, you know, used in discussions about healthy food and that. So what exactly is it?
Well, high glycemic foods cause glucose levels or blood levels to rise in the bloodstream. And blood glucose is closely related to the amount and type of carbohydrates consumed. So high glycemic foods cause a larger rise in blood glucose. And then conversely, low glycemic foods tend to cause small blood sugar rises that don't last as long. So one example is, and this is a, you know, sort of a subtle difference, but the difference is between instant oatmeal is more quickly absorbed from the colon into the bloodstream than rolled oats. So rolled oats are a lower glycemic food than instant oatmeal. And something like a piece of bread is a higher glycemic has a higher glycemic value than, say, a carrot. And a carrot would be even higher than something like broccoli or greens, which are very low. So most everything that you'll find growing in your garden is going to have a lower to a medium glycemic level. So kale and turnips and radishes and tomatoes and potatoes and nuts and lettuces, even potatoes. Potatoes are the russet potato that we tend to get in restaurants. That tends to be a high glycemic. Big potato, less skin ratio to the carbohydrate inside. But your Yukon Golds and your little red potatoes, and especially those little purple potatoes, are medium to lower glycemic level. There's a higher ratio of skin, potato skin, to the inside part. And so that just reduces the amount that is going directly into the blood sugar as into the blood as sugars. But, you know, string beans and beets and parsley, cilantro, basil, lots of fruits and apples and apricots and nuts and peaches, anything that you eat that is fresh, and especially if it's raw. And basically, that's what health is all about. It's about a return to the garden, about fresh foods and lots of exercise, which is what happens when we're in the garden. We're bending and stooping and planting and hoeing and digging and raking and carrying on. And that's what we're meant to do. That's how we're meant to eat. And on the other hand, restaurants and supermarkets and even potluck tables are pretty risky places to eat if you're looking to recover from an illness or to increase your levels of health. You know, my brother, he is a diabetic, and he came over to the house one day and he said, you know, let's just check everybody's blood sugars. And I was sort of surprised by that. I thought, okay, why not? And he had a glucometer. Most all drugstores have glucometers. And this is a really simple, relatively inexpensive device for checking your blood sugar. You go ahead and get one at the drugstore, and then you get a little prick with a little needle thing, and then you put a little drop of blood on the end of this little test strip, and then it reads out what your blood sugar's levels are. And I have one, and my brother recommended that we all get one because he wound up with diabetes. He's like, you know, this is like the what they call the silent killer, because you can't really tell that your blood sugars are high. But Frank came home the other day and said that he had a friend who was had a blood sugar rating of over 1,000. I've never heard of blood sugar that high. I mean, usually your morning blood sugars, you want them to be a little bit under 100 or around 90 or something. And then you might have a rise of about 30 points during the course of an average meal. And then an hour later, it should be back down to a low reading somewhere during the day after while you're eating, you know, it's around the low 100s, 106 or 110 or something, rising up a little bit with a meal. But that's a really relatively simple way for us, and a relatively inexpensive way for us to find out what our blood sugars are doing.
Oh, that's excellent, Josephine.
And so, you know, we want to have those basic health meters in our home. Readily available. We want to know what our basic ratings are. So, you know, I have a thermometer. Everybody needs to have a thermometer if we can. I have a glucometer to measure my blood sugars. I also have a blood pressure meter. That's a good thing to know how the blood pressure is doing if somebody's not feeling well, to check that out and find out. And I also have some pH test strips. You can get those at your healthy food stores in the supplement section. But not only do we want to have those external markers for health, but we also want to listen within. So when I was a young girl growing up, my parents had a really dear friend who was often our babysitter. Her name was Kama. And she was in her 70s when she was taking care of us as little kids, and she was just as sprightly as we were. She was running all over the place and just in amazingly great health. And she never ate any sugar, and she never ate any white flour. In fact, the only thing that she ate was apples and walnuts. Now, I'm not suggesting that people eat just apples and walnuts, but when she was in her 40s, she became so crippled with arthritis that she could no longer come and go from her apartment. She lived on the second floor, and her son had to come take her out whenever she needed to go to the doctor or to the grocery store or whatever, and he had to pick her up and carry her down the stairs and put her in the car and pick her up and do the wheelchair, the whole thing. It was very difficult, and she thought, at that young age, she thought, you know, I don't want to live my life like this, and how's my son going to deal with this as he gets older? You know, he's young now, and he can lift me up and carry me, but this is terrible. And so she prayed one day for help. She sat in her living room and was just feeling so discouraged and so beside herself with her situation. And she just said, I need to know what I can do. And she got the message that all she needed to do was to eat fresh, raw, organic apples and walnuts and nothing else. And she did. And this was just her story. I'm not saying that this would work for everybody, but in her case, she completely reversed her arthritis in a matter of just a few months' time. I think it was 6 months to a year. And then, like I said, she was the most sprightly person I know.
Wow.
Yeah. So with that being said, I'd like to go ahead and take us into a little exercise. And so let's just go ahead, and we're just going to take a moment to just listen within to see if there's anything that our body would like for us to do. And so just take a couple of relaxed and easy breaths and get in a comfortable position. Close your eyes if you like, and if you're driving a car, of course, save this exercise for later. And then just take a moment to think about your health. Do you feel any imbalances? Is there something that you might have been diagnosed with that needs your attention? And now just see what might be calling to you from within. What would your body love for you to do to help turn this situation around and head it in a good direction? And we'll just take a moment to receive that information. And then allow yourself to begin to return to your normal waking consciousness. Know that if you need more time for this exercise, you can always do it any time. And then let yourself remember whatever it is that you've received so that you can journal it later and begin to take action along those lines. How was that for you, Tony?
Yeah, very nice.
Good.
I always enjoy the exercises.
Yeah, they're great, aren't they?
In fact, that was the message I got. More exercise and more rest.
Very good. That's beautiful. Yeah, nice thing. I got a little more exercise, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I certainly take more of those exercises anyway.
Yes, absolutely. They're wonderful, aren't they? So now I'd like to talk just a little bit about osteoporosis and the acid-alkaline balance. So I mentioned the pH strips. And we can't absorb our nutrients into our bodies if our pH is off. I have a very dramatic book in my library. It's called Alkalize or Die.
Oh, dear.
I know, isn't that quite the title? It's by Theodore A. Barodi, B-A-R-O-O-D-Y. And this is really an important thing, to go ahead and pay attention to our acid-alkaline balance. And really the way to do it is with these pH strips, to just really find out if we actually are succeeding or not. And maybe you can show that next slide then, Tony.
Certainly.
Thank you. And this one says we can only have disease conditions in an overly acidic body. So if our blood is too acidic, or even if it's too alkaline, our bodies in their vast wisdom will mine the bones to buffer the blood. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
The minerals found in the bones are perfect pH neutralizers. And bones are plentiful and strong, and they can continue to be sufficiently strong long after a significant amount of their mineral content, mostly calcium, has been mined away. And these minerals then combine with the imbalanced pH of the blood to neutralize it. And the brain and other vital organs are very sensitive to the pH of the blood that feeds them and that cleans away our waste products. And if our blood pH is off by just a little bit, our cells can't function properly, and our vital organs can be, you know, very adversely affected. So now here's a common myth that I learned about from a naturopath, and this one really surprised me years and years ago, but it's quite astounding. And that's that dairy products don't actually make for strong bones. And this is because even though dairy products are high in calcium, they definitely are high in calcium, those high calcium levels are also accompanied by high levels of protein. And when we eat proteins, we require a certain amount of calcium in order to digest those proteins. And the calcium in milk and cheese, though it's high, is not high enough to adequately digest the proteins in the milk and cheese. And so when we eat dairy products, we actually wind up with a calcium deficit. Now, this is contrary to what we've been led to believe, which is that if we've just eaten a milk or cheese meal, that we've helped our bones by taking in calcium. But indeed, you've just robbed your body of some of the calcium it already had due to the high protein levels in those dairy products. So now this leads to the whole protein issue, because we've also been convinced that we need extraordinarily high levels of protein for energy, and we believe it. So that belief is really key. And so when we feel tired or run down, we run out and eat a lot of protein, and then we feel better, or so we think. And whatever we believe does have an effect, but the truth is that proteins are used in the body for creating body tissues. And we know that an infant, a little baby, has what is probably the highest need for protein. Being an infant, it's growing and making lots of new tissues every day. And babies only need about 4% protein in their diet. That's what mother's milk has. And that's the amount of, you know, protein that's present in the mother's milk. And that's about the same amount of protein that an apple has. So most plant-based foods are amply rich in protein, and that's really good. So the real problem lies in getting too much protein, because this puts a strain on our kidneys, and that's why severe burn patients become so ill. So often the big concern with bad burns is that there's too much protein from damaged tissues, and that gets released into the blood. And this excess protein in the blood overloads the delicate tubules and the structures of the kidneys, results in kidney malfunction and sometimes even death. And this is the same reason why I'm not very fond of the paleo diet. The very few groups of people who did eat lots of meat in Paleolithic times often died young from heart attack and stroke and kidney disease. And I don't mind people eating animal products if they're called to it, but they need to eat only just a little bit of it. Meat should be used more like a seasoning for the vegetables rather than the main course. Like I said earlier, when you're thinking of food, you want to think breakfast, vegetables, lunch, vegetables, dinner, vegetables, and, yeah, a little bit of whatever else you want to toss in there. But also, too much protein in the diet, again, from highly concentrated sources like animal products, is very acidifying to the body. This means that the body's pH levels become too low. And professionals in the natural healing community feel that the optimum blood pH range is somewhere between 7.42 and 7.50. That's a really pretty narrow range. But this is optimal for uptake of nutrients and for blood and brain and body health. And this also allows our bodies to operate most efficiently. So blood pH and urine pH are different from each other, but the urine pH is a little easier to test. So then come the urine test strips, which are usually available, like I said, in the supplements department of healthy food stores. And I think the drugstores carry them too. And to use one, you just hold the strip between your legs while you're urinating and try to catch some of that. It's best to do it first thing, the early morning urine, and catch it midstream on the reactive tip of the little strip. And then you let the little pool of urine soak in that on the tip for just a few minutes. And then you compare the colors on the tip of the strip to the color on the chart on the package that the strips came in. Maybe you can show that slide then, Tony.
Certainly.
So the urine pH should be around 6.4 to 6.8. That is going to reflect, that translates into the optimum blood pH levels. So this naturopath helped me to understand all of this, and so that we can really take a look at the cure for osteoporosis and most all disease conditions, again, lies in a return to the garden where we find all of our alkalizing foods and our fresh fruits and vegetables.
Oh, that's excellent. And I'm so happy to go out in the garden. Josephine, we're getting fairly near the end now. We did receive a message from Rosalie in response to the exercise, and she says, I got cod liver oil very loudly.
Oh, great. Wonderful. Well, cod liver oil is one of those old-time healers, you know, where we want to get those good omegas. So that's great. Cod liver oil it is. Enjoy. So there's a couple of last few resources that I'd like to share in regards to cancer treatment. One of my favorite books is John Robbins' Reclaiming Our Health, and he has a wonderful section on alternative cancer cures. Just a beautiful, beautiful book. The sub on that is Exploding the Medical Myth and Embracing the Source of True Healing. And another one is the Gerson Plan. Many people have heard of that, Healing the Gerson Way, Defeating Cancer and Other Chronic Diseases. Another book that I really love is called Healing Cancer from the Inside Out, A Practical Guide to Healing Cancer with the RAVE Diet and Lifestyle by Mike Anderson. And again, that's RAVE stands for raw, the R stands for raw, A stands for no animal products, the V is for no vegetable oils, and the E is for lots of exercise. And, you know, then I recently came across a website which I just absolutely loved, and it's known, it's the website is thetruthaboutcancer.com, and they have an 11-hour-long series that's called The Quest for the Cure, and two of those are available free on YouTube right now, and it's just an amazing, eye-opening look into the alternative options that we all need to know about, and some of which are, you know, iodine therapy for the thyroid and the breast, ovary, prostate, and pancreatic cancers. Iodine has apoptotic properties, which is that it is a process of apoptosis is a process of programmed cell death, and that sort of helps to stop that cancer cell division. There's also turmeric and, of course, you know, alkalizing the body with lots of water and oxygen and green juice and really, you know, having that healthy diet style. And then there's overheating therapies. Linda Page in her ninth edition talks about a wonderful overheating bath that was quite commonly used in Europe for killing viruses, and can also overheating therapy is known to kill cancer cells. Then there's coffee enemas, which really help the liver to dump their toxins. That's very different from coffee as a beverage. Coffee as a beverage suppresses the liver enzymes, which kill cancer tumors, but the coffee enemas really get that those toxins out of the liver. Many, many other things, too. Sunlight, vitamin D, you know, prevents 70% of all of our cancers, so morning and evening sun. Lots of good tips. So go ahead and check out that website, thetruthaboutcancer.com, and take a look at the quest for the cure. Really quite an amazing bit of work that those people have done there.
Thank you so much for that, Josephine. But unfortunately, it's time for me to say that we've come pretty much to the end of the show. So are there any final parting words that you'd like to say?
Well, yes, there are, and thank you so much for that, Tony. There's still one more way that we can help ourselves to recover from illness, and it may be perhaps the most important of all, and it has to do with our state of mind. When we make a point of laughing a lot every day, we boost our immunity, we relieve stress in our bodies, and we lower our stress hormones, and we reduce the incidence of heart disease. And laughter also helps to ease our pains and our anxieties and our fears. And then as well, in his book on quantum healing, Dr. Deepak Chopra explains that the one common trait for people who have experienced spontaneous remission from serious disease is that state of bliss. They've found a way to allow themselves to journey within to find that deep connection of oneness with the universe. You know, they've really opened themselves to new, limitless possibilities. And this is really important. You know, opening ourselves to cultivating good thoughts and holding those good thoughts and beliefs and opening ourselves to good ones, that can really dramatically affect our health. So we really want to try to achieve that state, and that's what we do when we strive for developing our psychic ability. So in closing, I'd like to thank all of you so very much for giving me the gift of your time, and I'd like to finish with this little blessing, which is that as our gifts are given in love, they are received in love, and we honor their wise use and their increase for all concerned. And thank you so much.
Thank you so much for that, Josephine. As always, it's been a real pleasure talking with you, and I trust that everyone listening has learned lots about restoring the balance of health and how to catch ourselves when we've fallen. This has been show number HLN-4.15, and if you enjoyed the show, we really hope that you will tell your friends. The link to next week's show can be found on Josephine's website at stepintomagic.com. So we look forward to having all of you joining us again next week when Josephine will be talking about miracles and magic transforming our experience of life.
Thank you. Tony and I wish you all insight, wisdom, and magic as you pursue the journey of inner knowing, and I hold you all in light and in love. Thank you so much for listening. This is Josephine Lang. Until next week, good night.